Good morning, Harmony Toluca Lake. Thanks for joining us this morning. Every fourth Sunday, we like to do a more subdued and acoustic service, but that's not going to stop us from worshiping in the way that we want to. So whatever your position of worship is, I ask that you stand and join me. So if you want to stand, sit, get on your knees, whatever your position of worship is, I just want you to be comfortable being centered and connecting with God today.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. He stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Sing how great.
Thank you. from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to it? Conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. Sing that out with me. Indescribable. Indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. Dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For hear my heart is sad. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. One day in your courts than thousands of
One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Sing it out, better is one day.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts.
Good morning. We are a storytelling people, right? It's a part of our DNA, and it's intrinsic as to who we are. And this goes back so far back in time. It probably is as far back to when there were primitive hunters, and they were in carved-out caves with their flickering fires in the dark of night. We are a storytelling people. And this morning, I'm going to share an important part of our story, which is part of our history and present and future here within the Hollywood United Methodist Church. And I'm also going to incorporate another story from a Native American faith tradition, which I find appropriate for today's focus topic, which is intentional faith development. Intentional faith development, it's one of the five practices of fruitful living as shared by Bishop Schnazy in his insightful book, and it's part of the integration within our current sermon series. And as we move forward in the next 16 or so minutes, giving you a warning there, today's message will center on opportunities, intentionality, growth, exploration, and it's all within our respective journeys, both individually and as a community of faith. Now, as I said, we are a storytelling people the same as Jesus, which was integral to his public ministry for the transformation of the world. And we see an example of this through one of the parables which Jesus told, and it's included by the author of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to ask Narbe Manassians to come forward, and he's going to read today's scripture from the Common English Bible. And you'll see the verses, they'll be up on the monitors. And again, this is from Luke 13, 6 through 9.
Looking for fruit on this tree for the past 3 years, and I never found any. Cut it
So here is what I call the gospel of the second chance. It's this experience, and it's an allegorical passage about the spiritual journey. Now, if we go back 2,000 years back in the day with Jesus, you might say he was placing emphasis on the urgency of the times because he knew his time in ministry with the people, physically being with them, is going to be short, and he wants them to effectively bring in this gospel message into their lives, especially their spiritual lives. And we can go down that road, but I also see it essential to share that this parable can be misinterpreted as being one that's full of judgment, full of God's wrath, full of damnation, because you didn't get jiggy with Jesus. Rather, what we have here is indeed the gospel of the second chance, that our divine creator wants us to be fruitful, to be creative, to be successful, to be effective. And when we aren't, when we're stuck in the gridlock of life, when we're, you know, in the throes of spiritual apathy, or, you know, we're just not being productive, that it's not a dictate from upon high that you suck and you need to go into the far corners of the earth, but instead, it's a divine, merciful call. And it says, don't you know how much I love you? Don't you know that? Give me a chance. Work with me. And we can yield wonderful fruit together. What do you say? Man, what a wonderful message that is. Because it's always Jesus' way to give us chance after chance after chance. And what do you say to that? So to the short about the fig tree brought forward by Jesus in the parable, and here are the pertinent facts, especially relatable to the people of the time. A fig tree normally takes 3 years to yield fruit, and it's to reach its maturity. And after 3 years, if that fig tree hasn't yielded any fruit, then guess what? Most likely, this is not going to yield any fruit at all, right? And then in this instance, what should be done? Well, they're going to uproot the unproductive tree because, you see, it's taking up valuable land. Now, what I find interesting in this allegorical story is this. It's as if the fig tree had been trying to produce figs on its own, and it wasn't working. And then along came the gardener who pleads with the owner of the vineyard, and he says, please, let me work with this tree. I'll apply, and I'll actively cultivate the ground in which this tree lives. I will provide it some constant care. I'm going to apply fertilizer so that it can grow and get healthy, to be a fruitful tree that it's been called to be. Now, I'd say that in our lives, we'd absolutely want that type of nurturing gardener, that advocate, that tireless caretaker to be in our lives all the time, right? So we can be who we've been called to be. So here's where I want to tell a story. It's part of our church community story, and it's part of our history. And it's especially a part in which we are currently living. And it is truly an amazing story. What I see right here, it is part of this. It's one of opportunities and challenges. It is one that's had ups and downs, and it's one of love, grace, and mercy. It is a story of multiple chances, and it goes well with today's parable. You see, for several decades, this once proud neighborhood faith community known as Toluca Lake United Methodist Church was struggling. It was struggling mightily. And eventually, with about 10 people, 10, attending worship and with no active involvement in the area, the church had reached a point in its life that it had depleted all of its resources. In essence, the tree had depleted the soil's nutrients. And it was time for that church congregation to close its doors. The California Pacific Annual Conference then extended an offer to Hollywood United Methodist Church to make new ministry happen on the site known as 4301 Cahuenga Boulevard in Toluca Lake, to which Hollywood UMC had accepted. And as an aside, I want you to know that the California Pacific Annual Conference is a regional body of the United Methodist Church. It's comprised of around 70,000 members, and there's almost 350 local churches. and that contains most of Southern California, parts of Central California. You got the Pacific Islands, you got Guam and Saipan. Well, and I'm glad I've got Jane Crockett in the house, because she can testify, right? So we have this moment of acceptance by Hollywood United Methodist Church of the extended offer to make ministry happen in Toluca Lake. Well, challenges arose almost from the get-go in what became an arduous journey. Things just weren't clicking. Now, there's no shame or blame in this story, but it was very clear for a variety of reasons that the fig tree wasn't producing the fruit that was needed, and it might have to be cut down. That's when the CalPAC New Ministries Director, Reverend Nicole Riley, and the New Ministries team approached the bishop and the cabinet of the conference to look at this tree with fresh new eyes, to shake things up and to deeply cultivate in a new and different and unexpected way for intentional development and to give this new ministry from Hollywood UMC one more chance. Reverend Kathy and the governance board agreed to go unexpected. And that's when a lay pastor was assigned to the Toluca Lake site starting in January 2017. Passionate to make ministry happen in a transformative way in active cooperation with the Holy Spirit. That lay pastor is me. But I'm making this very clear. This is not about me. And it will never be about me. It is about God. It is about working through Christ. It is about those individuals in leadership here at this site that is now known as Harmony Toluca Lake, who answered and continue to answer the call of Christ and who are tirelessly giving of themselves for something greater. It is about creating something vibrant and productive for the whole of Hollywood UMC, and most especially the kingdom of God. It is about growing healthy and bearing fruit with the opportunity that is before us and that has been given to us. It is about absolutely being fearless and to be difference makers for this broken and hurting world. It is a story about all of us. One church, two campuses at Hollywood and Toluca Lake, which all of our leaders and all of our community members come together with clear intention and purpose to live fully and passionately into the faith so that this tree of new ministry may indeed bear wonderful fruit. It is a story worth telling, my friends, because we are the fig tree. And I give abundant thanks and gratitude and appreciation to Rev Kathy, Rev Nicole, the Harmony Toluca Lake leadership team, and our HUMC governance board, as well as everyone who is supporting this new ministry. It is a story worth celebrating. Yet, we have much to do, right? So, we've got to continue to carefully cultivate this new ministry with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness, all the while diligently following Christ every step of the way. And this leads me now to that other promised story that I said earlier that is a Native American faith story tradition. So here we have a grandfather telling his grandchild this story, and this is what he shares. Inside me, there are two wolves who fight each other all the time. One is motivated by peace, gentleness, honesty, justice, and love. The other lives by resentment, bitterness, hate, anger, and violence. Well, the child asks, which one wins? And the elder says, the one I feed. Which one wins? The one I feed. A relevant story about our spiritual growth and struggle. You see, too often as followers of Christ, and I'm giving you just the general blanket followers of Christ, we just dabble in religion. We just sort of tiptoe in. We gingerly tip our toes in into what we deem as comfortable. Oh, yeah, you know, we'll attend worship. And granted, that's a big step because some of us feel like if we walked through those doors into sacred territory, lightning would have struck, right? Fellowship and hospitality after worship, well, maybe okay. You know, that's a comfortable enough setting. We got donuts. Yeah. When it comes to the Bible, well, you know, we know a few stories, and we can bandy about a few scripture verses when the topic of interest or there's a debate that ensues or percolates. Yet, scripture on the whole, yeah, well, it remains mysterious, and we feel out of our element, especially when others know the Bible so well, and they seemingly use it as a weapon against us. So then, why is it that we don't want to embrace being comfortable with being uncomfortable? Why is it that we're hesitant to deepen our faith? Why do we resist spiritually growing in community with one another? Rather, striking out on our own instead. And I use that baseball metaphor since I find it very apt, striking out. Does it have to do with fear, feeling inadequate, wondering if we'll be accepted for who we are? Maybe being accepted for whoever we are on our spiritual path. Maybe we're not feeling good enough, whatever that means. Being awkward in the knowledge or lack thereof of the Bible. That we don't know other people. Or maybe they have different beliefs than we do. Or we just don't have enough time. I'll hone in on that last one. There's never enough time? Well, you see, we all know it, there's 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, and we lay out our schedules with work and sleep and whatever, and we can fill every hour of the day, right? And it's with whatever. Yet, isn't it interesting that we'll find time to feed someone or something in particular that we feel is important. Now, we may not have the time, we may not confine the time, but boy, if it's strongly enough, we'll certainly make the time, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we'll move other key things out in our schedules, and we'll commit in Commitment Phobia Los Angeles. You see, some folks, they want their spiritual life to be easy, sort of like fast food. Just keep it short and sweet. Like, you know, maybe we could stream a show online or listen to a podcast or, I don't know, read a best-selling book on Kindle. Give us our spiritual fix easy. Whatever it may be, because you see, human nature, they desire quick fixes. Practice, learning, growing, maturing. Ugh. Ugh. Didn't we do that? We did that in high school. Didn't we do that in college? Isn't it over? We don't have to do that anymore, right? Well, I'm going to call us out, because we must participate less as a consumer of religion and more as a cultivator of the spiritual life. Because if we are in the same place in our relationship with Christ as when we began, well, then, Houston, we have a problem. How often do we rely upon ourselves, thinking we can produce our own figs, that we don't need anyone else? We're the masters of our own destiny. Yeah, right. How often does that self-reliance apply to our spiritual lives? To mature in faith, to follow Christ, means that there has to be intentionality. The word intentional comes from the root of Latin, intendis or intendere. And that means to stretch out for, to aim at. That means that we're going to be attentive, consistent, to aim for and to commit. Oh, commit. As Bishop Snazy writes in his book, those who practice intentional faith development, they make room in their lives for learning faith. They plan to feed their spirits. Learning faith becomes a way of life. It's a practice that is no longer haphazard and incidental, but which is central and important. So you see, when we're in community with one another, when we're learning together, there is a supportive network that then is created. And it's here where we test our thoughts and our ideas. And we gain perspective and insight with one another. That's where we share the love of Christ. It is a community in which we actually discover Christ. Because didn't Jesus say, where two or more are gathered, then that's, I'm there among them, right? And I find this interesting, that communion with one another, well, that then deepens our communion with God. Now, that's certainly applicable to peace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion, hope, gentleness, love, grace, serving. Because all of those that I just named, those are communal in nature. They are social to be experienced with other people. My friends, I have witnessed this firsthand. I have seen amazing transformation in some individuals in the past year. It has been truly just awesome because they have been intentional in their faith development. They have become strangers to their former selves. They've become different. That light now is inside them and it is shining brightly. These persons have become more peaceful and courageous. They become more resilient and grateful. It is truly amazing, hopeful. When opportunities to grow in our faith are before us, as at either campus, doesn't matter which campus you go to, it's at either campus, let us take advantage of them. That includes classes and studies, group gatherings, lunches, choir, retreats, seminars, support groups. Two recent examples. It truly is amazing. We had 33 participants, 33, at the study that I led of homosexuality in the Bible. And they actually forced me to do a fourth session. We had 20 participants at the compassion workshop that was led by Dr. Frank Rogers on a Saturday. Participants of both of these gatherings left pumped. And there's currently, on Tuesday evenings, we got Spirit Pub in WeHo. We've got the arena that meets here. Wednesday evenings, we've got Financial Peace University at the Harmony campus. And we got choir at the Hollywood campus. Thursday evenings, that awesome new college-age young adult group, 412, it's rocking it. They're meeting here. We also have Rev Ed leading a grief group class once a month. And we got a queer and lesbian women's group meeting twice a month. On Sunday mornings, you got Pastor Denise over at the Hollywood campus leading a Bible study. On Sundays after worship, as Jen had mentioned, we've got lunches on the first and third Sundays of the month. And there's so much more happening here. This is awesome. I'm presenting these opportunities for you and for all of us as examples of our faith development. And yeah, it's also for our spiritual growth. And in this instance, I again ask, which wolf will we feed? Will we decide to work with God, to cultivate and fertilize the fig tree in our lives? Where are we going to place our intentions? My hope is that all of us, that we're going to be curious and open, that we're going to be willing to learn, that we're going to be courageous and willing to try something new and different, putting ourselves out there, participating in the life of the church community to be even more caring and supportive of one another as well as the other, to become more in Christ. So again, I ask, and that's something for you to ponder, is which wolf are you going to feed? Let's feed the wolf that's motivated by peace and gentleness, honesty, justice, and love. That is attentive to the presence and working of the Spirit. And that changes from the inside out. Amen. Amen.
Put your hands together.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. You can't.